Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's like 28 million couples that are in long distance relationships.
When we're together, it's amazing. We connect and it's awesome. We go have to restaurants and we have a lot of fun. And then when we're apart, it's such a letdown.
We have to be very intentional in our daily connections. For us, we don't have that luxury of just the side-by-side physical connection. So we have to do lots of creative connections, and technology allows us to do that. But guess what that means? Then when you get together, it's pretty much out of this world because it's been such a buildup. Right. Am I right, Abe?
Yes, without a doubt. Every time I get off that plane, it's like
we're just like, you know,
there is a skip and a step to the baggage claim.
Exactly.
Like, let's get home now.
Dear young married couple, you're in a busy season of your life. You're probably working and involved in ministry. On top of that, you might even be parents or students. You're maxed, but you really want to stay connected in your marriage.
And that's why we're bringing this podcast to you.
I'm Adam King.
And I'm Carissa King, and we work with busy couples just like you in our counseling office here in Sacramento, California. We also work with couples all over the world through online counseling. And our couples are really just looking for ways to communicate with each other more effectively. Some of them are looking to heal from a breach in trust or find direction in fulfilling the purpose that God has for them.
So come and join us as we have a conversation. We'll talk with therapists, authors, pastors, and other couples who will pour into us, giving us tools to become more intimately connected, get adventurous, and find purpose.
Welcome to the Dear Young Married Couple podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to stay connected when you're apart.
And we have two lovely guests with us today, and they're in a unique situation because they are married, but because of their circumstances, they have found themselves at a distance. Their names are Abe and Elaine Romero. Elaine is a marriage and family therapist who helps people who are also in these shoes. And so they are working through this, and while it is challenging at times, they have also found a lot of creative ideas for how to stay connected when they're apart.
Yeah, and a lot of people do find themselves in these situations, like military and firefighters, and there's a host of other professions that find themselves at a distance.
Or maybe even it's a ministry trip or work trip.
And evangelizing.
So and maybe you're just at a distance for a week or weeks at a time. And like this couple we're about to interview, they only go 2-3 weeks at a time without seeing each other. But they're in a season of their life where they aren't living in the same house until they make the trip to go see each other. And so we just learned a lot in this conversation from them. And it's a lot that you can apply to your marriage to stay connected intentionally. And especially if you are at a distance or in a long distance relationship, even dating.
So listen up, and I'm sure you're going to get some value from this.
Welcome, Abe and Elaine, to the podcast. We're so excited to have you guys on today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes. It's a pleasure to meet you guys.
Aw, well, we know that you guys have some unique perspectives to share and stuff that we think will be helpful to lots of couples who are listening, whether they're in your shoes or not. I think they'll probably be able to find some nuggets that they can apply in their own marriage when they are apart from their spouse.
That's so good. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
So just like maybe to get this thing going, why don't you tell us a little bit about maybe yourself and your story? How do you find yourself choosing this topic?
I don't know if we chose this topic. Well, Abe, is it okay if I start?
Yes, you start, Elaine.
So Abe and I are in what's called a commuter marriage. And basically, you know, we both had previous marriages. So mm-hmm. we it's funny because we grew up together and then we mm-hmm. both reconnected at a later time in our life. Mm-hmm. But he lives in Texas and I live in California and we have children from previous marriages. So we really felt like it was important for, we didn't want to uproot our children. They'd already been through so much. And so we kind of made the decision when we started talking and then dating, we're like, what are we going to do? We live in two different states. And we decided we didn't want them to have to sacrifice that we would. And so we still made that jump to marriage. And now we just have kept our homes. So now we have a home in California and Texas, and we fly back and forth every 2 to 3 weeks to see each other. And lo and behold, it's actually called a commuter marriage, which we didn't even know existed until we started living that lifestyle.
Wow, man. So can you define for us, Abe, what is a commuter marriage? Because I'm sure a lot of people might be in one without even realizing it.
I will follow Elaine's lead. She's probably told this story so many times, but a commuter marriage is essentially being a situation where distance is involved. And it could be a regular couple like Elaine and I, but a lot of people fall in that same category, whether it's military or pilots or entertainers, firefighters. There's anytime there's a distance with any period of time, it can mm-hmm. be classified as a commuter marriage. So that's essentially it. And it's learning kind of the nuances of what it means to stay connected while you're apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's all types and configurations. Some couples, you know, have one home, like a pilot or a firefighter, mm-hmm. And then they deal and cope with distance. And then there's other couples like us that have two homes. And what we've learned by starting our podcast and supporting commuter marriages, there's over 4 million just in America, but worldwide, we don't even know the statistics. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, there's all these couples, there's like 28 million couples that are in long distance relationships mm-hmm. Just in the US. And then we're finding worldwide, it's even larger for that too. So it's this whole community of people, you know, the way our world is set up today, it's more doable. And right. so there's all right. these people coping with distance.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. So being a therapist, Elaine.
Yes.
I am really curious because so you meet this guy named Abe and you're like, yeah, he's a stud, but he doesn't want to move. And you're thinking of all the clients that you've had, this has probably been difficult. Like right. what was like your professional take meets what you want in your heart of hearts? Like, how did you like juggle that decision of let's get married, but I know this is going to probably be difficult too.
Right. Well, that's I've never had somebody ask me that question. So definitely for the professional hat, what I loved about it, to be mm-hmm. honest with you, Adam, is that here is a man who's not going to move his children away from their other parent. And to me, that's fantastic. For us, it was just not a question. Like we would not put our kids through that. So I actually saw that as a very positive quality in both of us, that we were both incredibly committed to our children in that situation. And the other component is that yes, you're right. Over the years, I've worked with many blended families and the blending process really actually needs to go slow. And so for some respects, this actually made it really healthy for the blending of our family. Our kids have blended very slowly together and they really enjoy each other. It's been actually very successful. So in some ways, there was some built-in components to this that was helpful. And I think, you know, just overall, the fact that we're both so, it's kind of one of those things where when you see someone so committed, despite these kind of challenges, you really recognize, wow, this is something I can't walk away from.
Well, in addition to that too, you know, when we reconnected, we hadn't had really any connection for 20 years or so.
Yeah, we knew each other as little kids. We went to the same church. And
then we did separate high schools. We never connected back then. Briefly said hello, but that was basically it. And when we finally did connect, it was such a powerful connection. And I realized I want this person in my life. I can't be without this person. And it wasn't a question of, I if she lived in China, I'd be with her. I wanted to be with her and live my life with her. And luckily she agreed.
Wow. And so how long have you guys actually been married now?
We're coming up on 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've been doing distance for 4.5 years.
Right.
Okay. And we have a few to go because we're trying to get his kiddos off to college first.
Okay.
Mine have already made the jump to college, but I do have a practice out here in Temecula. And so, and Abe's from California. And so we really just feel like this is home for us. And so we'll be
so college
here.
First.
Right. And get those kiddos off to college. But it's nice because now that mine have gone off to college, I can actually, and now that telehealth is open for therapists, I can actually go stay for a longer period of time on my visits to Texas. So I take my California clients from Texas.
Nice. Nice. That's good.
Yeah.
So you've had more flexibility. But the goal, it sounds like your goal is for you guys to live in the same place, even though you'll still be probably spending time with the kids back and forth to Texas because they're from there.
For sure. So for sure. Yeah. We plan to close the distance here in California. And at that point, no matter where the kids are in college, whether they decide to go to Texas for college or if they want to come to California for college, you know, we'll just be taking all those flight miles that we're earning just to put it to flying kids home.
And on top of it, they were born in California, so I don't think they've ever lost the love for California. So they
they've
been looking at California schools already.
Yeah.
So in some ways too, it makes more sense to me. And I know that people do military, and it's not on the horizon of like get the kids off to college.
Right.
So in some ways, this is different. But I think it's very. I mean, it was going to be a struggle to get married, even though. You know,
or a challenge
to get to have, I don't know, like, you know, off the top of my head, I was like, man, that would be very difficult for me to marry someone that's not willing
to move. But if
you find a good thing.
Yeah. You know, there is a concern, you know, I mean, obviously as a therapist, you know, one thing that to answer your question again, Adam, as it runs through my head is we don't want to be child centric in the sense that we do want our marriage to take a priority. Mm-hmm. However, there's also laws we have to follow. Like you can't just move children away from their other parent. And so it's also about, you know, this was our situation, whether we liked it or not. So some couples do choose distance. Mm-hmm. This for us wasn't really a choice. So we just decided we'd make the best of it. And luckily our kids and our family was all on board. And so, yeah, it's partly just kind of making the best of it.
Mm. Wow. So I guess that kind of leads us right into the next part. I think that will probably really be helping people is how do you make the best of it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you've learned a lot of things in this 3 year period of time.
4.5 of
possibly
distance.
Looking forward to like getting those kids out of the nest. But, but what have you guys put into place or expectations that you've set that have helped your marriage stay strong through the distance?
Well, you know, some of the things that we've done, and it was a learning curve, and that's part of the reason why we started the podcast in the first place, was to help couples in distance really try to navigate this because it's not easy. Yeah. And so we kind of had to learn, when we're together, it's amazing. We connect and it's awesome. We go have to restaurants and we have a lot of fun. And then when we're apart, it's such a letdown. And so what we found is that we have to be as creative as we can possibly be as if we were together. So we've come up with a lot of cool ways to connect. I know some of the things in terms of technology, you know, we're using, you know, video FaceTime. We use Duo a lot to see each other and have conversations and interact. A lot of Zoom calls where we can actually play games with one another and get the family involved and have them all participate. And so that's a lot of fun. And my kids love Elaine. So they always want to do game night with her, even if she's in California. And there's so just a myriad of ways to do it. And I know Elaine has some great ideas too on ways we've done it in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we really learned is we have to be, so the biggest, I would say the biggest components, we have to be very intentional in our daily connections, which any couple should do anyway, right? Yeah. So that's the touching base several times by phone. Mm-hmm. We send a lot of like flirty texts, and we do little gifts, and we do videos throughout the day. You know, I'll take pictures of things and send it to Abe because I want him to be a part of my day. So very intentional our daily connections. And as you guys are probably familiar with, like, the research from the Gottman Institute, we know that's important to do anyway, right?
Yes,
it's the small daily connections.
Talk about that, though, that people might not know about that research.
Right. Okay. So the Gottman Institute, which is a fantastic lab up in Washington, they have done a lot of work to kind of see that finite difference between couples that are thriving or not. And one of the things that they found is that couples that have daily connections tend to really thrive. So the leading predictor, according to their research, is disconnection over time. Mm-hmm. So daily connections are super important. They pack a really big punch in keeping a couple thriving. And so with distance, that is something we really have to, you know, even take an extra step of effort. So, so Abe and I probably on some level, you know, a traditional marriage, they might come home at the end of the day. Hey, honey, how are you? Have dinner and maybe watch a show. But for us, we don't have that luxury of just the side-by-side physical connection. So we have to do lots of creative connections, and technology allows us to do that quite a bit.
You know, it's, I mean, how often, Elaine, do you see couples that come in and even though they're living in the same house, in the same state, they still aren't connecting every day?
Well, for sure. I mean, that's, I've been a marriage counselor for 25 years, and that's been something you see. You know, you definitely have those couples who are doing great with it, and maybe they just need to know that information to tweak it a little bit and just to keep going. You know, knowledge is power, right? So if I know that's important, I can keep doing that. And then the other couples that really do, they have become so disconnected over time, they're kind of just living side by side. And that can be indicative, of course, of a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important. This is important. What we're learning is important in any marriage, but even more so in our kind of situation that we have to kind of, it's like, you have to sign up. You have to sign up for daily connections. And if you're kind of not, we're on a lot of forums for, like, even long distance relationships to try to keep the pulse on, like, what kind of concerns people have with distance. And there's, you do see a lot of the couples where they're like, my person's not texting me back. And these are more like younger couples in a long distance relationship. And it's like, if you're going to do this, you have to kind of be on board for daily connections.
Yeah. And I agree with what you said, just even from a dating perspective, when we were dating long distance for a couple years, we've said many times that we feel blessed to have been able to work on our communication in a different, and in some cases, even a better way than a lot of our peers who didn't date long distance because they could rely on just the presence of each other.
The physical touch aspect.
The physical touch.
Whereas I could just give her a hug or put my hand on her leg or whatever to console her, just for an example. I can't do that if it's a long distance relationship.
Yeah, that's probably one of the bigger challenges for any couple in distance, whether it's someone whose husband or wife is deployed or the firefighter families. It's that physical touch that everybody talks about is so difficult. But guess what that means? Then when you get together, it's pretty much out of this world because it's been such a buildup. Am I right, Abe?
Yes, without a doubt.
He's like,
every time I get off that plane, it's like
we're just like, you know,
there is a skip and a step to the baggage claim.
Exactly.
Let's get home now.
So aside from maybe the sexual aspect, what would you say has changed from the time when you were dating long distance to when you actually decided, you know what, let's enter into a covenant and get married, even though we're going to stay long distance? What changed for you guys?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, at the end of the day, obviously the commitment and, you know, is a different commitment. I mean, I do think one thing that we've had some dialogue about, honey, and I jump in if you agree with this, but like, I know when we were dating, I would give him like when his boys were with him, because, you know, they spend some time with their mom and sometimes with him. And when they were with him, I really try to be very hands off. I was his girlfriend at that time. And it was like, he needs to work. He needs to focus on his children and vice versa. Me too. But mine were a little bit older. But now once we made that jump to marriage, it's like, we got to look at this a little different, because all four children need to know that like our marriage is also a priority within the whole picture.
Right.
And I, maybe that's more of a blended family issue.
But you're doing both simultaneously, right, which is a challenge.
So we do include them, like what Abe was saying. We do a lot of family game nights and things like that. And and even they're very involved. And so I think Abe was telling you another very big component of what makes this work is we have a lot of creativity in our online dates. I mean, we do some really fun stuff. Things.
Tell us about it.
Okay. And then the kids get super involved. Do you want me to I feel like I'm talking so much. Do you want to share some of the fun creative dates we do online?
Well, some of the things we do, and we're actually talking about doing it this weekend, it's a favorite of ours.
Okay.
But it's who played it at best. And so we will find a recipe and we will make it together. She'll get all the ingredients. I'll get the ingredients. And we usually, when we're cooking, we're just talking. We can't really see each other.
Like headphones.
Yeah. And then we, after we've plated it, and we'll take a picture of it, and then we'll sit down and do Zoom and eat together. So it's very fun. But Elaine's added another element to it. So she takes the pictures and we'll post it to our community and say who played
and,
it best.
And you guys get voted who did it best.
That is so good.
It's funny too, because the criteria of the food rarely comes into play.
Yeah,
it's usually
funny.
The color of the plate.
That's not the point. Like,
whose food would you rather eat? Yeah.
Yeah, it could taste nasty, but as long as as long as the picture is taken better.
So that's one of our favorites. We also do one through something called virtualvacations.us. And what it is, it's a fantastic website that we found that you can either, we put it on like either Zoom or Discord or whatever we're using online. And it shows like either walking tours or plane tours or an actual driving tour of different places like Italy or France or Denmark. And some of them are even live. Like you can watch a live footage of people walking around that country. So a lot of times we maybe coordinate food to that area and then we actually like go to Italy together. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's fun.
And then kind of dream about visiting there someday.
And sometimes can take an interesting twist, because we were watching, I think, Italy at night or something. We're pretty sure we saw someone get robbed. So then it becomes, then it becomes a detective date, and you get to solve the mystery together.
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness.
This is so good, because it's funny because I would have never thought of this stuff.
Right. It's so creative.
Well, and that's what's neat about our community is that it's not just us. So we have a couple episodes all on online dates. And then we also like have a couple friends in the community that also have like a blog on them, and we all kind of swap ideas.
Nice.
And so that's what becomes really fun. And in fact, it's not uncommon on Friday night for everyone kind of in the community to say like, who's together and who's doing it online? And if you're doing online, what are you doing? And so we all kind of support each other. And that is one of the beautiful things that's come out of our podcast, is just this community we're in.
Yeah. That's
so interesting.
Neat. I love that.
It's interesting too, because I think a lot of couples, you know, like let's say, you know, Krista goes for a week out of town. So many couples that live together would just be like, okay, well, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that bad, but a lot of people don't put very much effort into that distance. It's just kind of like maybe a little bit of build up, like I can't wait till you get home, but but that's it.
But they're not really staying connected. What would be some ideas you'd give people in those shoes? Because I think a lot of people find themselves there where, you know, they're away from each other for a week even. And
they don't want to lose the connection.
They don't want to lose that connection. And they don't want it to just be a quick text and, oh, we stayed up late tonight and so I, you know, missed you. So talk to our audience about how they can stay connected to their spouse when they're apart.
We'll be right back to the interview, but first we wanted to share something that we are really excited about.
So, you know, we all have those times where we don't feel super connected to our spouse and we really don't know what conversations to have to get us to that connected place. And then on top of that, we're so busy that we don't prioritize those conversations.
And that's why we created the monthly live date night.
And monthly live date night is every month on a Friday night for 90 minutes, 60 minutes. We focus on a topic that you guys pick. And then 30 minutes, we do a Q&A and it's live where we're all together asking questions and giving answers on topics related to your marriage, your intimacy. And we share tools. We have handouts that we call homework because we want you to be there to listen and to soak in, but we really want you to take action in your marriage too.
So come join us live for the next monthly live date night. Check the link in the show notes for dates and details.
All right, back to the interview.
Well, I mean, again, I think it's, you know, there's different kind of ways to do that. Like we kind of have a little bit of a balance. So part of it is investing in your own life and maybe pouring into your children or your friendships and actually having plans and hobbies. So that's mm-hmm. okay to do when you're part two. So it's a time to like invest in yourself. So that's very important in our kind of world as well. However, those fun ways to stay connected, again, using I don't know how people must have done this. I mean, you think like centuries ago when, you know, sailors would just send these like love letters home to their wives and they'd get them a month later. Cause I don't know how they do that, because for us, it's like, we're so dependent on all these fantastic ways. So it's texting, again, it's sending little videos to one another. Mm-hmm. I would recommend if you're going to be away from your mate for maybe a week, maybe they're traveling for business, or maybe they have to go help a family member or something like that, maybe plan an online date. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so having just creativity with it, would you add to that, Abe?
So the, what Elaine has done with me before is she'll slip a note inside my suitcase. And so when I get home, she will, I'll find it and go, oh, I'm surprised. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot, you can have a lot of fun with that. And also you can have a lot of fun when, we try to surprise each other with, you know, some, you know, kind of on the edge text, like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And so when you're gone for a week, there's that buildup. You still get that buildup.
Amen.
Yes.
Like, oh, I can't wait till you get home. But it's kind of trying to shock each other and flirt with one another. And so that's incorporating a lot of that's fun.
Yes. And we also do a lot of like fun with like, we have a whole episode on surprise gifts. And so we do a lot of fun things with like calling your local coffee place near your person and sending them something that says, I miss you a latte, you know, and send them a latte. Or, you know, it's like, the great thing about like Grubhub and stuff like that is sometimes we surprise each other with deliveries.
Oh,
and
I so love that.
There's just a lot of little fun ways that we, you know, stay connected, keep it fun, and just enjoy, try to enjoy it. And that was probably for me the biggest shift, is that when we first started dating, it was all about like, I found this wonderful man and our visits are amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I would come home and it would just be dark. You know, it was just like, ugh. And so then we realized, and this was before we were in any kind of community. So we just on our own realized, okay, we have to focus on what's good about this and have fun with it and be creative. And so that's how all these things kind of were born for us, you know, and then we just started implementing them. And then lo and behold, we joined this community and it's like, wow, everyone's just starving for these ideas.
That's so good. Abe, I have to ask you, you know, like there has to be guys listening going, yeah, but maybe Abe's just special. You know, like, he's just able to do all this stuff because he's just amazing. But like, was this a learning curve for you? How like to be mindful and to put yourself out there and to like continually be thinking about how you can meet her?
And cherish her way. At a distance. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you that it is a bit of a challenge. I think with our rhythm and how it works, she is more naturally gifted at those connections. I'm pretty good too, but there are times that we, for instance, here's the thing that we typically do. I'm 2 hours ahead of her. Mm-hmm. So we'll say goodnight, and she's a bit of a night owl. And so when I wake up in the morning, I'll have a sweet text from her to wake me to wake up to. And then so I get ready and then I text her. And then when she wakes up, then she has a nice text for me. Mm. Now, there's been some times I've forgotten to do that. Depending upon, you know, I'm in a business trip and I'm in a rush and I'm scrambling and, you know, depending on what, wake up late. Uh-huh. And we've had some challenges with that in the past, but
yeah, I got a little mad is what he's trying to say.
And I think that's the challenge too. But also in terms of being intentional, and I think that's the part that I think most guys that are listening going, come on, man, mm-hmm. I would never do that. That sounds like a lot of work. And why would I even do that? I think you, from that perspective, you have to think of it. What does your wife do for you? Mm. The little things and all those things that make you feel special. You can't do that back a little bit to help that connection. Mm. And so it's a choice of being selfish and unselfish. Mm-hmm. And if you know there's certain things that your wife loves and appreciates, and you have to be mindful and intentional and make it part of your rhythm and how you.
I have a question then. Would you recommend some guys like setting alarms to be mindful, or like, this is like super practical because I know that some guys, well, I get one track sometimes and I'm not in that mindful space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I'm like, I'm doing this. I'm in this box. I'm in not in that box right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right.
And so kind of helping my future self. Did you ever have to do that, or is this kind of thing that continually is on your mind?
Well, I do forget sometimes, and I got in trouble once for doing this.
Once. Okay, so you learn.
I scheduled a text.
Oh.
I'm going to schedule a text to go out in an hour or 2 hours. Boom, done. And then she goes, and I said, hey, I scheduled that. She's like, what? You scheduled it? I'm like, but I was thinking of, you know.
That's so funny.
So, but I've done reminders too, like on, you know, Alexa or something like that. And yeah, I think you're right. There's a certain mindset you get in this one focus-driven thing, whether it's with my kids or doing something, and I'm just really, and then time goes by, and then, oh my gosh, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Elaine, I don't think it's the worst thing to have reminders set up to go, hey, time to call Elaine, or time to do whatever. And I think that's a good way to do it. And it's not like we're don't want to do it. It's more like you just get wrapped in the world around you and you get it, and it just like, oh my gosh.
We have such a rhythm. I would say in the beginning, you know, you're in love. And so it's like, we were just all so attentive to that. Yeah. But then I think because it was so structured over, you know, right from the get-go, like we have this very, don't you think there's kind of like these structured times? It's like that text in the morning, and then we do midday. And then sometimes I'm in session, so I'll get like a cute little text while I'm in session, you know, and I try not to smile too big if the person's like, if they're talking about their pain or something.
Right.
And, you know, and then we have our night around with certain times that we know at night, and our kids all know that we talk to each other at that night. So it's kind of a structured thing.
So leave us alone.
Right.
I like that you guys, I mean, obviously value your children and their routine and their life. And that's why you guys are at a distance right now. But at the same time, you do place emphasis on keeping your marriage at the front and center, like making sure that the kids do know that your marriage is a priority to each other.
For sure. We've had those conversations with them, and mine are older, so they're just like, whatever, you know? And then your boys are great about it, and they're just all invested anyway. And a lot of times, sometimes they're involved in some of our online stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun.
So let's talk about the sex question. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are eager to know, when you're away from each other for weeks at a time, and this could apply to, like you said, firefighters and military, and how do you stay connected sexually other than just anticipating when you come home to be physically connected again?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny because I think a lot of it is just, you know, like when we're having our late night talks, we do kind of maybe it's an evolution. It's like those beautiful mm-hmm. moments where you're talking or maybe texting and you're just kind of saying, I miss you. I need you. I want to hold you. And then suddenly you're like, I would like to do this to you. And it moves into these very sexy texts, things that I was like, wow, I've never really done this before, but you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And then I think you guys are connected with this couple as well. I actually had stumbled upon the Ultimate Intimacy app, which is a fantastic app. And we actually were using that for a long time before we became, so that app is very helpful for Christian couples or any couple, really married couples to connect sexually, but it's actually very helpful when you're in distance because they have, there's like a locked path, you know, it's password protected. Mm-hmm. It's also a safe platform. So that way we can safely be sending texts and it's not like it's going to open up and our children will see something that's maybe not for their
eyes.
That's
probably a fear. Like I don't want to send a picture because that my kids might have my phone at that point watching ABC Mouse or
exactly.
Oh wait, that's us.
Our kids aren't that young. Our kids would more be like, ew.
Well, also it helps you, you become a better storyteller in those moments. Scenarios and like, you know.
Yeah. So our connection sexually, that is something that we, you know, it is, it's important. We're a married couple and we have to make sure that we are investing in that. But it's also something that we make sure, and we have a whole episode on that, just so that you know, on connecting sexually from a distance. But we do really talk about like, it has to be done in a way that makes both people comfortable. It has to be done on safe platforms. But a lot of it is just about that beautiful conversation of, you know, the ways we would like to connect physically and sexually. And then that, it just ends up being just a really fun avenue, something that I never knew I'd be involved in my life. So it's
been
That's a really good point. The desire to, the desire for, and allowing that. And then the meeting,
the build up
becomes so much more beautiful because it's like, this is what we're gonna do.
We don't need the Ultimate Intimacy app once we're together.
The phone is thrown out the door. But that's very helpful, I think. For and then I like how you said, Abe, you become a really good storyteller. And I think that some people can learn from that. That tip.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
That's good.
Doesn't it make you a more creative human being?
It really, that's what's so funny about this whole marriage, as much as it's difficult and challenging, but here's the thing, like every marriage has difficulties and challenges.
Yes.
And so we kind of said we can either make this sad and, you know, just dark, be negative about it, or we can like make the best of it. And I think it's going to add to our marriage, and there will be a day we close the distance. And there are some couples who actually just choose this lifestyle. That's not us for sure. But at the end of the day, like, I think it's just going to add to our marriage. You know, it's that idea of pushing through storms and focusing on what's good. And so you have to do that with a lot of things in your marriage. And this isn't our only storm. We have other things in our life that are, we have four kids, so there's always challenges.
But I like how you see this as just an obstacle. It's not, you're not terminal in this in this area. It's like there's a better day coming, but you're gonna make this the most beautiful thing you can.
And when you rest in it, and when you, like, I have in my, I've kind of shared on other things that in my past marriage, there was a lot of betrayal. And so I suffer from some betrayal trauma, and trust is a tough thing. And I remember telling Abe in the beginning of our relationship, I'm like, how did I end up in a relationship at distance? Because of all people, I probably should not be in a relationship like this where trust is so hard. And then I realized in kind of my own prayer life and relationship with God that I'm probably the best person to be in this relationship, because God is really working on that muscle in me to trust him, to trust my husband, to remember, you know, remember to be connecting and things like that. So it ends up actually really being an exciting thing, even sure. though it's challenging. Yeah.
Well, speaking of trust, have you guys put any boundaries in place where you said, here are the standards for our marriage. Here are the things we do and don't do, especially at a distance.
For sure.
Yes. Yes. It's you know, it's one of those things too, where, you know, being in a traditional marriage, there are certain boundaries and things like that, but distance adds another layer that's even more complicated, and those connections become very important, especially mm-hmm. when someone's on a business trip. That's where trust becomes so vital, mm-hmm. and the understanding of what, you know, what your partner will do, what's kind of what's expected. And there's been some bumps here and there, and especially with Elaine's, you know, past trauma and things like that. I think there's a more of a focused lens mm-hmm. on this relationship in terms of mm-hmm. what's acceptable and what's not. And I've had to learn some of those things because mm-hmm. it's not been easy to go, oh, I didn't know that was would have hurt you. And then they go, yeah, it does. So I'm like, oh, okay, I got to adjust and make corrections. And so that's something I still, you know, struggle with in terms mm-hmm. of making sure she's okay and feels protected and feels safe.
It's a lot of dialoguing and a lot of, like, you know, coming up with a plan together. So, like, even for example, that whole thing of me, a lot of times, like, normally you'd be a couple and you say, let's go to bed, and you go to bed and your night is done, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, like, you know, Abel will go to bed 2 hours earlier than me. So I might be on social media talking to friends and things like that. And so we have a very, like, set boundaries of how we handle interacting with the opposite sex. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and we are very intentional on things we do and don't do. And we also make sure that we let each other know everything that's kind of going on with that. So we have some set things about how to handle if we do, like, if I go out, you know, again, we have to invest in our life apart. So there are some weekends when he's home with his boys and I might go out to dinner with a friend. And so, you know, it's letting Abe know where I am, and it's being intentional and making sure.
A girlfriend.
Right. Let's specify.
That's the standard. Yes.
There you go.
But that's good, because those are clear boundaries that you've established.
Yes. And the other thing that's been always super important to me, that I partly, again, this is where my professional hat would come in, is I've always said from the very beginning, and Abe was totally on board with this, is I never want it to be my rules for Abe or Abe's rules for me. We make a plan together. Mm-hmm. And so we don't control one another or tell each other how to behave or not to behave, but we set those boundaries together, and that makes it really good. You know what I mean? That helps a lot.
That's good. Man,
so helpful. I think that there are so many nuggets here that people will be able to take away and apply to their own marriage, even if they're not apart, because there are elements that do still work in a traditional, as you say, in a traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. But definitely even for those long trips. Just to ask, are there any resources that you would suggest, books or your podcast, but what would you recommend for the listeners around this subject, or even just a general book that they should get to help their marriage?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of articles out there that you can check out. And there is a book called Commuter Marriage. And right off the top of my head, I'm forgetting the author's name, but I can send that to you. So there's a good book for Commuter Marriage.
You link that?
I haven't perused as much the books for LDRs, long distance relationships, but I know there's a ton of literature out there. Mm-hmm. Of course, we would love if people would turn to our podcast.
Yeah, tell us about your podcast.
So it's called Love is in the Air. We're on almost all podcast places like Spotify and Apple and all that good stuff. And they can go to the link in our bio we have two support pages. We have our support page on Instagram, which is @CommuterMarriageSupport. And then our support page on Facebook is just Love is in the Air. We're kind of in the process of putting together a website that will also have a lot more, and a YouTube channel. And so we're growing. We just kind of started this in November. So,
And it's a really good thing too, because we've also discovered a lot of other people in the same scenario that also share and have a lot of great ideas. And so we've made a lot of good connections. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So we'll link all of that in the show notes. And then we will also link the other resources you mentioned, like Ultimate Intimacy app and the virtualvacations.us, just so people have some more practical tools as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's awesome.
Well, we're going to close the episode out the way that we close out all of our episodes. And that's by asking you guys, rewind back to the beginning of your marriage and think about advice that you wish you would have received. And then you'll fill in the blank, dear young married couple. And you guys can each answer that.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. Go ahead, Abe. Do you want to start?
No, you start. I got to think.
Okay. Okay. We'll let Abe think. Okay. So mine would be, dear young married couple, make sure you have intentional daily connections and just be so creative in dating your spouse even after you're married.
Yes. Very good.
So good. All right. Top dear, that, Abe.
Yeah. Dear young married couple, for the guy, nice. Make sure that you are as connected, as interested as when you were dating. And yeah. Don't forget to take those little extra steps to make her feel special. And never forget what it's like to date and keep that date momentum going.
Very good.
So good.
Keep
Everybody
dating
better
her
hear
is
that.
What you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
So good. Well, thank you guys so much for being willing to do this podcast.
Yes.
And hopefully people take some of these tips away and apply them.
Yes. Yep. Thank you guys so much. And
thank you for all you do on your podcast and your page. We're big fans. I'm sure you see me sharing your information all the time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah. So we'll look forward to people applying these things and maybe we'll put up a sticker to get kind of like a community aspect going and saying, what are ways that you have implemented connection in the distance? So we'll share those answers with you too.
Awesome. That'd be awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right. See you next week.